This is the Runner's World Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the Runner's World Podcast, the weekly podcast bringing you all the latest running news, views and interviews. I'm Rick Pearson, the Runner's World section editor, and I'm here with Ben Hobson,
Hello.
The digital editor. Ben, what have we got coming up on this week's episode?
This week we are looking at running in the LGBT community, and we are delighted to be joined by two members and the current presidents of the London Frontrunners, which is the largest LGBT sports club in Europe. And we also have RW's Kerry McCarthy coming in to talk us through the latest running news.
Sounds good.
Yep.
I also hear on the grapevine that Kerry might have a new jingle. Somebody's written Kerry a jingle, and it's to be enjoyed or endured later in the show. So lots to look forward to. Apart from that, Ben, what have you been up to? You've been on holiday, haven't you?
I did. It got very warm. I was in France, and just as you know, this ludicrous heat wave came along. So that was, but I enjoy the heat, so it's fine.
How hot are we talking?
45 degrees. Oh, yeah, it was very melty.
Yeah,
but counter to our last chat, which was how amazing holiday running is. I'm currently injured, so there was no holiday running.
Oh, shame.
So it is a shame, because that is my favourite kind of running. But we were based right next to France's second largest freshwater lake.
Oh, lovely.
So I did lots of swimming.
Yeah, great cross training. Great.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Low impact.
It was lovely, actually. Really, 4,000-year-old freshwater lake.
Wow.
I learned all about it when I was there.
It sounds like it.
It was really good.
Yeah, tell us later on.
Okay. What about you?
So I made the most of the good weather. It wasn't 45 degrees, though. It was about maybe 30. But I ran around Hyde Park, which is close to the Runners World HQ. And I thought, I'm going to go for this. I was like, tempo, 4 miles at tempo pace. And ahead of me on the path, there's a group of tourists who are about to take a photo of themselves. And one of them saw me coming and said, "Oh, watch out, jogger coming through." Oh, I was livid. So I'm running. This is me running.
And there must have been a face of exertion going on if you're doing the tempo. This isn't they looked at you and thought, here's a man casually jogging. Yeah. You were trying.
I was trying, but I was maybe it doesn't look like much maybe it looks like I'm jogging. I mean, I'm not really into this kind of big difference between jogging and running. I don't ordinarily care, but I thought, oh my God, right. God,
at the time, you cared because you were really actually probably hurting.
I wish I'd said runner coming through. It just would have.
It would have made the effort feel validated.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. Well, we should move on to the guests of the week, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to chatting to these guys.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
With London Pride Parade taking place next weekend, we thought it was perfect time to discuss running and the LGBT community. Frontrunners is an umbrella organisation of LGBT running clubs around the world, and we're delighted to be joined by the co-presidents of the London branch, Kirsty Fitzgerald and Jamie Keenan. Welcome to the Runner's World Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
I think before we get into anything else, what is Frontrunners and when was it set up?
Frontrunners was set up in 1974 in San Francisco, and it started out as a jogging club. You might remember that jogging was a bit of a fad in the 70s.
Yep.
And so, of course, some gay people got together and said, how about we do gay jogging?
and how about the London branch? When was that set up, Jamie?
The London branch was set up in 1995. Right. So if you do your maths carefully, you'll realise that we are celebrating 25 years next year.
Ah, excellent. All right, we'll celebrate that one as well.
Indeed.
So, Kirsty, question for you, because I hear the social side of things at Frontrunners is fantastic. How important is that side to the club, alongside, obviously, the running?
Yeah, the community side is really important to all the runners, especially having support not just for your running but for kind of being an LGBT person living maybe or working with other people in the same community as you. It's really important to have the support from other people that's got the same things in common. It's really important for the runners as well to get together, and you can chat, and kind of after a run you kind of feel really good, and then you can go and have some dinner or have some drinks. I've actually just come back from Devon, where a group of 70 of us went down for kind of a social weekend.
Right.
We did the Devon Park Run in Barnes, in Woolacombe on Saturday. Oh, yeah. And then we did the North Devon Half on Sunday.
Wow.
I bet it was really hilly, wasn't it? I always think Devon's lovely, but really, really lumpy, yeah.
Do you know, there was running across sand, and there was running through the kind of the sand dunes and over the hills, and it was pretty tough. But, you know, it was a really great weekend to have so many members of the club all together, socialising for the weekend, out for dinner, breakfast, and enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, sounds good.
So who can turn up to Front Runners? Because most running clubs is a broad church. Everyone just turns up. It's a similar thing, right?
Absolutely. Anyone can turn up.
Yep. Great.
Yeah, we encourage all runners to come, all different abilities, to come and give it a go.
What was the appeal of having a running club specifically for the LGBT community? Why was that sort of something that materialised, do you think?
I think the appeal for myself and certainly many of our members is that doing sports at school wasn't fun. It wasn't inclusive. Rewinding 20 years, it wasn't as inclusive, and we didn't necessarily feel as comfortable, for example, in the change rooms. Mm. So joining a sports club where being gay is not anything special at all, it's not really even a topic of conversation. Yeah. That's an immediate appeal, and it's almost like experiencing all the things that you couldn't experience as a teenager doing team sports. If you didn't feel included back then,
right,
you can do it now.
And I think as well, when some of the members of the club, they maybe aren't out to family members, or they don't have family that they're still in touch with, or they have work colleagues that they don't feel comfortable to come out to. So actually, after work, in the evening, if you can go to a running club 5 days a week where you're surrounded by other LGBT people, and it's perfectly normal that you can then exercise with those and just feel really included and comfortable, that's really important, and it can make a huge difference to your quality of life if you're surrounded by people that you feel comfortable to express your full self to.
Do you think that?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traditional running clubs can be kind of intimidating places then for members of the LGBT community.
I think everywhere can be intimidating for members.
No, I am intimidated by normal running clubs.
And even just mentioning, my wife, my girlfriend, my same-sex partner, my transgender boyfriend, these terms or these topics. If you're maybe in a running club where people haven't met someone like you before, then you can feel, or maybe it's not the right place to talk about my personal life. And that can put barrier between you and the running club.
I would echo that. And I would say that we have people who've joined our club saying they were in a previous running club, didn't feel 100% comfortable either coming out or just generally being part of that particular club for various reasons. And they've come to us as a bit of a refugee, if you like, because, as I said before, you know, being gay is the least of our worries, really, when we turn up for a run.
If you want to bring a partner to the a Christmas event or some social, we went away to Kew Gardens for the weekend for a trip, and it was inclusive for all. So you can bring your children, bring your partner, and just come and enjoy a day out with the runners. It doesn't all have to be just about you and your running. If you also have if you weren't in an LGBT inclusive environment, you may think twice about bringing a partner along to one of those events.
Now, I know that Front Runners is also very international, and you have clubs in the US, Australia, all around Europe. Is there a lot of interaction between these sort of different chapters?
Yes, of course. We have the Gay Games every 4 years. Yeah. The next one's in Hong Kong in 2020.
Wow.
And we have the Euro Games that's coming up in July in Rome. And we all compete in, against each other. Yeah.
What sports are we talking?
There's so many sports. I went to the Paris Gay Games last year, and there's triathlon, there's cycling, there's tennis, there's shot put, there's a whole list of different events you can get involved in. Running wise, there's always a Pride run, and last year I did the half, the 5K, and the 10K.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great amount of opportunity. Well, Jamie, you were mentioning off air about the Pride run that's coming up that you guys organise in August, is that right?
August the 10th, that's right.
And well, tell us a little bit about that, where it takes place and why it's worth sort of signing up for.
So the Pride Run 10K, it's in Victoria Park in London on the, what did we decide, the northeastern bit of Victoria Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Controversially a 3-lap race, but, you know, we'll get over that.
Yeah.
We describe it as one of the best races to do if you've never done a 10K before, because it's so flat and it's a very, very welcoming environment, LGBT or not. We have over 1,000 people sign up for the race, and we have people of absolutely all abilities running. There'll be people still running at the 1:30 mark, and that's applauded as much as someone who, you know, will do it in 30 odd minutes.
Yeah.
So it's as I said, it's the perfect first race for anyone who's never done 10K before, and a great celebration of our club and a great advert for what we do, what we offer.
Yeah, I mean, there was a as of this morning, we saw the news that the New York Pride run had over 10,000 people take place at the weekend as a record-breaking Pride run. That's aspirational, I think, maybe. start getting that field.
Somewhat dwarfs our efforts.
No, not at all. It just gives you something to aim for. Next year, world record.
Maybe next year. I think 1,200 this year, 12,000 next year.
Perfect.
I don't see why not.
No, exactly.
This was the first year we also had two Pride runs in London, actually, because the Pride in London, who organised the parade, ran a 10K as well.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. So they did their first, that was a fundraiser for the Pride parade itself.
Nice.
So all the money went towards the expense of putting on the parade.
Can you give us a sense, Jamie, what does a week look like for a front runner member, when do you do your runs and what do they involve?
So you can pick and choose as a member exactly what you do, but we have four what we call weekly runs. So it's Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning.
Yeah, right. Wow.
And then you can do track on Tuesdays and track again every other Thursday.
I'm exhausted.
So I don't know how many people do all of that every week.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of competition for our members to do all four weekly runs.
Yeah.
For like 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I have never done that.
Just
confessing. And I think it'd be quite a time investment to do all of that. But Kirsty's one of our coaches, and she can probably talk us through what happens on Wednesday night in our coaching session.
Go on, talk us through the track, Kirsty.
Yeah, Wednesday's one of the really nice runs, actually. Up in North London, we meet near Kentish Town. There's two different sessions happen on the Wednesday, so you can kind of even decide on the day what you fancy. The coach session usually goes up and down the hills around the Primrose Hill. Is it Primrose?
Yeah, yeah,
Parliament
yeah.
Hill.
Parliament Hill's at Hampstead Heath.
Primrose Hill.
You're right, they're both
steep and hard to run up.
Yeah.
Yes, we tackle those hills, and there's a great view from the top. And then the other option on a Wednesday is to run around Regent's Park. In the winter, it has to be the outside of the park.
Okay.
But in the summer, when it's daylight, we all go around the inside. Yeah, and then afterwards, we've got a rota of where we have dinner. But usually there's a dinner after.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Now we're talking. That's where I come in. Have you got some good places to eat around there?
Yeah, we've been working our way around several of the local pubs and restaurants, and we've kind of built up some connections with some of the local businesses as well.
Mm. I was speaking with a friend of mine who wants to take up running. I was like, you should really think about front runners. But he was a bit worried about not being quick enough. And what would you say to people who are a bit intimidated about joining a running club? I'll ask you first, Jamie, what you think of that.
I would say that's probably the number one comment we get from people who join the club and are with us for a few weeks, that I was so worried for a long time about not being fast enough. And I was one of those people who watched London Frontrunners march down the hill at London Pride for 5 years before I felt that I was good enough to join the club. And obviously it was a wasted 5 years, because it's absolutely not a problem.
Yeah.
If you can run, we say if you can run for half an hour without stopping, so if you can do a park run, then you're good to go. You're good to join us. And that's really the only criteria. If you can do half an hour, no problem.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Would you presumably echo that, Kirsty?
Yeah, for sure. So last year we actually really focused on beginners. So we did a couch to 5K program, and we still have then kept a number of those runners with us. But they'll also be on a regular run. There'll be people that kind of are going to take it a bit easier, maybe do an out and back run because they've just done a hard race. They're going to take it easy. And there's also people that have been injured who want to just kind of build it back up slowly. So whether you're a completely new beginner or you're returning back from injury, you're more than welcome to come along.
Yeah, I think. There's been a lot of discussion in the news recently about stories about gender in racing, particularly in running, genetics, and also within cross country there's been a huge divide between equality and distance that people have been running as men and women. How does that affect you and your community in terms of this division of man and woman and especially with transgender runners?
With the cross-country Met League we're really involved in, our whole club has voted for the last few years to equalise the distances. That was our stance on it, that if women can run marathons, they can definitely do more than a 6K cross-country. So we as a club united on that. We did a poll kind of between our members to kind of gauge where we all agree on, and we stuck with it. That's what we took from that. As regards to the kind of the wider picture, Jamie, you might be best to speak on that actually, because you attended with some developing some policies and procedures and training and stuff, didn't you? For
yeah, certainly. So we were asked as an LGBT running club, one of the biggest, to advise UK Athletics on how to approach gender and how to approach people who identify as non-binary. So, of course, our position is people should be able to compete and identify with whatever gender that is appropriate to them. And our thoughts were very well received by UKA, and they've developed some great policies on how that should be approached in races and the ability for athletes to compete in the category in which they feel they should be competing.
Yeah, great. Are there any other messages about the front runners that you'd like to get out there?
I would say that... for those who are looking to make friends and meet people and stuff, running is a great excuse to do that. There's a lot of argument in our club whether we're more of a social club or more of a running club.
Yeah.
I do think we're about 50-50. I joined as what you might call a social member, and I've become a little bit of a competitive member more than I ever thought I would. So I would say, speaking from my own experience, I've been in the club for 6 years. Running is just a great excuse to meet people, have fun, and really turn your social life up to 11 if you want to.
And Kirsty?
So even if you don't live in London, you should get involved with an LGBT community around near where you live, especially with running, whether it's Edinburgh, you can get involved with their Pride 10K or the Manchester Piece of Cake 10K. Yeah, just get involved and kind of give it a go.
And that's great. And if people are interested in joining Frontrunners, is there a website people should go to?
There is a website, londonfrontrunners.org. Everything you need to know is on there, but you can, if you email the info address, Kirsty or myself will get back to you.
Well, thank you very, very much. Kirsty and Jamie, thanks so much for coming on the Runners World podcast. It was fab to talk to you about running in the LGBT community and also the Frontrunners club. So thanks very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Here's an interesting topic I saw being discussed on Twitter this week, and it was talking about the benefits of training to time rather than mileage.
Yeah.
So instead of following a schedule that says, you know, run X amount of miles, it instead tells you to run for a certain amount of time. So for instance, like Monday might be 60 minutes easy rather than 7 miles easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefits of that are that it's a little bit more flexible. So it takes into consideration stuff like terrain or weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more progressive way to train. What do you think?
No, it's great. So if you go to runnersworld.com/UK, you can read about Jane, our very own Jane McGuire's training for London, which she did using solely her Garmin watch as a training coach.
Right.
So you put up, you know, you take on one of their training plans and do that. And I'm pretty right in saying that was 100% done on time.
Yeah.
And that's how she trained for the marathon. So you can read more about it then. But yeah, I think it's, I like the idea of it because you can kind of, it makes planning a day almost like kind of like you feel like you've got your allotted time, and then you know it's not necessarily like,
yeah,
oh, I must do 9 miles,
yeah,
and you kind of do 7 and you feel like, oh god, these last two,
yeah.
Whereas in reality, if you said like an hour and a half, you'd probably be like, yeah, you know, keep going, this is fine.
No, I like it. I was chatting,
I've never done it though.
Well, I've done it once actually, and it was I was chatting with Robbie Britton, who's a very good ultra runner and a really good coach, and I was training for the glamorous Milton Keynes marathon, and a lot of the long runs I was doing were on trail, basically. I want to do a lot of hilly trail marathon, not marathons, but long runs. And I'd be out for, you know, like 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours and 15 minutes, but I'd only cover 14 miles.
Mm.
And I remember saying to Robbie, look, I'm quite worried because lots of the longer runs I've done aren't 18 or 19 miles, they're 14.
Like a traditional plan of like,
yeah,
your distance escalates.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, well, look, you've got to look at that and think, that 14 miler that takes you 2 hours and 10 minutes. If you were out on the concrete, 2 hours and 10 minutes, you would run 18 miles. So that's actually the equivalent of an 18 miler. It's not like all 14 milers are created equal. That's not how running works. And I think it's really good. I'd be interested to know what our listeners think, because I sense that most people still run to mileage rather than time. But I think it might be time to have a think about that.
Yeah. No, I think I'd like to see if you've trained by time, or you always have trained by time and never done mileage, let us know. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
We are now joined by Kerry McCarthy, Runner's World's own running detective, to bring you the latest running news. In acknowledgement to some of your fine work over the past couple of months, I've collaborated with a local reggae musician create your own jingle. Are you ready to hear it?
No, but you're going to play it anyway.
Sure.
His fingers on a button, his ears to the ground. He's done a bit of Googling and he's had a nose around.
He's a detective wearing running shoes. Kerry McCarthy and his weekly running news.
There you go, Kerry.
What can I say?
Has anyone ever written you a song before?
First of all, you said reggae. That is not right.
There was a distinct South London twang about that.
It's a broad
church. Very familiar one as
it's
well.
It's like Garth Brooks,
but
from Croydon.
It's a broad church. Right, let's talk about some running news.
Yes, let's. So what have we got this week? I think the big news in the last week has been, sadly for us Londoners and us Brits, the news that Eliud Kipchoge is going to be doing his next sub-2 attempt. Not in London in October, but in Vienna.
Yeah.
I know, boo, Eliud. but we still hope you do it, obviously. Yeah, the venue has been switched. It's going to the Prater Park in Vienna. I think, we're not quite sure why this has happened, but when you look at the routes, that they have proposed. It's a lot straighter.
Mm.
Battersea Park was going to be one of the potential venues in London, and obviously who'd be running many, many laps of that. But I think it's quite interesting that they've gone for this, because we just don't know what's going to get him those final 25 seconds. For those of you who don't know, he ran last time trying to run sub two, he ran 2 hours and 25 seconds.
Mm.
So you would think, okay, that's achievable. But what is it that's going to get him that? Is it going to be a slightly straighter route? Is it going to be more bigger crowds cheering him on?
First thing I thought when I saw that route, though, is that there's comparative to Monza, where it was a racetrack, those corners are literally 180s. I know that there's like a large bulbous end, which is like a larger, more progressive turn. But the other end, I mean...
Quite tight.
Yeah, it's quite a tight turn. I would imagine if you're trying to maintain 4:23 miles?
Something like that, yeah.
That you don't really want corners. Especially not like big ones at the end, but then a really long straights is great.
Yeah, I think you have to make some compromise.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I would imagine he'll have to do almost like an F1 car. He'll have to go wide round them rather than, you know, following the racing line.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's hope he's practicing that in training. So that's that. Next up, from the road to the trail, it was the Western States 100 last week, which is the world's oldest 100-mile race. Yeah, been going since 1974. I think, bit of trivia here, I think it was started by a guy. It used to be run on horseback.
Okay.
And then a guy called Gordy something, a Californian, his horse became lame. And so he got off the horse and finished the race on foot, dragging the horse along behind him. So now, many years later, it's obviously one of the biggest races in the world. Briton Tom Evans came third, which is not just a record for a Brit, but it's actually the fastest performance by a non-American.
Right, okay.
He did 14 hours, 59 minutes and 44 seconds for 100 miles, or if you work in metro, that's 166 kilometres.
So, I mean, 15 hours.
15 hours. Yeah,
just under, crept in.
Yeah, that's... he's fantastic, isn't he? Because he won the CCC last year.
Yeah, part of the UTMB series.
Fantastic. Yeah, I got to meet him about 3 months ago. I did a training session with him. I'm not saying that was
pivotal
in his in his rise, but yeah, his ambition is really really comes through. He was talking about, you know, I actually wonder if he'll be happy with third. You know, I actually think he might think that he can go and win a race of that stature. So yeah, definitely someone to keep a lookout for, I would say.
Well, the winner, Jim Walmsley, won the race in 14:09.
Jeez.
So, which was a new course record, and he actually broke his own record by 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, if Tom Evans wants to win it next year with Jim Walmsley taking place, is running as well, he's got to knock another 50-odd minutes off.
Yeah, it's an ask.
It is an ask. But, you know, in preparation this time, he spent 2 months training in Iten, in Ethiopia, at altitude.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the slowest runner in the Ethiopian running group I was training with, except for me, was a 2:08 marathoner.
Oh, my God.
He said it made it very interesting. Their tempo runs were on dirt tracks with rolling hills, so they were perfect for the race. He basically said that they would go out and they would do these sessions where the Ethiopians would run themselves to exhaustion until they just could not move anymore, and then a car would come and pick them up and drive them home.
Wow.
Just kind of what we should all have on our long Sunday runs, frankly.
Well, you just never hear of that session, do you? Like, kind of
there's always an there's an ambition to be home at some point, but by foot rather than like.
Well, let's hope they're doing like a loop rather than just running away from where they live and then can't go, right, I'm screwed now.
Mum?
Yeah.
Mum, I've done it again. I'm lost.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any Uber up in the mountains.
No,
so,
it's true. That's an amazing session.
Wow.
Yeah. And finally, just a quick one. Great news for runners everywhere. You don't need to do the plank as much as you think
in order
to improve your core strength. A couple of American fitness experts called Stuart McGill and Nurum Tamir have worked out, they think, by studying lots of different research and their own anecdotal evidence, that people who try to hold a plank for as long as possible, you know, it's like, is it a minute? That's good enough. Mm. If you progress to two, is that twice as good? Actually, what they say is a few reps of 20 seconds at a time with perfect form,
right,
is good.
Yeah,
and because you have to switch on all your muscles to do it.
Mm.
If you're able to hold a plank actually for say 4 or 5 minutes, you're not doing it properly, because you're not switching on all those muscles, because you would get fatigued far before that.
Got it.
So, and rather than just doing, say, a minute at one time as well, actually split that minute up into three reps.
Well, that sounds good. That's amazing, because you hear, there's this ridiculous plank record that's something like 7 hours or something.
It's slightly less than that. I made a note of it. It's a Canadian lady called Dana Glowacka, and it's apparently 4 hours, 20 minutes. It's the world record.
My God. She's not doing it right, I don't
think. She's not doing it right. Yeah, it's a completely waste of time. But there you go. When you're in the gym, less time planking, more time doing boomerangs for Instagram on the leg press. Win.
Win, absolutely.
Well, Kerry, thanks very much for coming in and giving us a rundown.
No worries.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. I'd like to say a huge thanks to our guests, Kirsty and Jamie, and to Number 8 Studios in Soho, where this was recorded.
For more news, reviews, interviews, and much, much more on the wide world of running, please head over to runnersworld.com/UK. Please like and subscribe on iTunes. And thanks to Acast, our hosting partner. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered